Generation Goat, number 35. I am E. Christopher Clark, and with me, as always, is John Martin.
Hey.
Hey.
It's been like a month, man.
I know. What's been happening?
Man, I don't know. I have been everywhere. I have been to Europe. I've been to Canada. I've been all over the place, but no goat.
You've been everywhere, man, like Johnny Cash?
I've been everywhere, man. But none of those like crazy Midwestern places he sings about, because who the hell wants to go to the Midwest?
I certainly don't. Right? Yeah, no Midwest for me. Unless it's a stopover on the way to someplace cooler.
Yeah, no, I was in Belgium for a bit, which is kind of like the Midwest of Europe. It really is very rural and provincial.
They should adopt that as their slogan.
I think so. We're the heartland. Yeah, so I don't know, but I don't know. Where should we start? I got engaged.
Yeah. Wow. So, congratulations.
Yep.
I had no idea.
It's true. Finally decided it was time to find a nice she-goat. She's going to love that. I got engaged, which was quite cool. So that was about 3 weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was it in the heartland of Europe or somewhere
no,
else?
No, it was in Paris, actually. The original plan was to go to Giverny, which is it's just outside of Paris, and it's where Monet's gardens and his house are. And like you go there, and it's like you've stepped into a living Monet. Like the Japanese bridge is there, the water lilies, it's beautiful. That was the original plan, but it rained a lot, and then I got a really nasty blister on my foot, so I was like, oh. And I was kind of nervous, because, I've got this ring, and it's, like, in my bag, and I'm like, okay. I'm carrying it around. I didn't want to leave it in the hotel, so it's in my, like, messenger bag, or
purse,
if you will. So it's in my purse, and I'm like, okay, now I got to figure out a backup plan. And we were at the Louvre, and it was open late. It was open till midnight, oddly enough. And the courtyard outside of it is a really lovely place to sit. And so we were sitting, I guess, at about 11 o'clock at night or so. And we were just talking, and then it seemed like a good moment. So we did that. And there's a photo of the moment, which I guess I could put somewhere. So it was very cool, and that all worked out. And then on the weekend, we had to go to Luxembourg to do the whole sit down with Nora's parents thing, which is a treat. But that went okay. And so pretty crazy.
Engaged.
I know, right? Years behind, I'm sure everyone else I know will say, because it seems like everybody I know is either married or has kids.
I don't want to get on a down note. It seems like everyone I know, or lots of people I know or follow, are either getting divorced or getting separated.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on. I keep, at least two friends of mine got separated or divorced last year into early this year. And then a mentor of mine from years back is getting separated right now. And it's very odd to me. Like,
it's a bummer, man.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. But
Nora hasn't had the good sense to break it off with me yet, so we're going to keep going for now.
But she-goat might change that, right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you saying that you're going to go out and get a she-goat also, I guess, implies that I've already got a she-goat, if that's what we're doing. So I better not let Stephanie have this be the first episode she listens to.
I don't know. Maybe we can convince them it's endearing.
Right.
We can work on that. But yeah, so I did that, and that was groovy. And I was in France and Belgium and Luxembourg, and I got to come home for like 3 days. And you graciously picked me up at the airport, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little drunk from not sleeping.
Yeah, And you had bumped into a woman on the on the plane. Well, you hadn't bumped into her, but you'd been seated near her.
Oh God!
Had you forgotten about that? Because
oh this no. Is the one- So, yeah. Okay. So this one's for the Waysiders. So I get on this plane, and there's this girl from Liberty College. She's got a big Liberty College. Now, for people who aren't familiar with Liberty, it's Jerry Falwell's fake school that he runs in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Lynchburg. Well named.
It's where Mel went. Mel Eisenman. It was for Randolph Macon is there as well.
Okay.
So the women's college. So it's Liberty. Now, that Liberty has a bunch of rules. You can't drink. There's no kissing. There's no, it's like, you know, Brigham Young, but in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Right.
And they teach creation science, and you can get a degree in creation science and whatever. So anyway, this young, abstinence-loving girl sits on a flight next to me, and she's on the phone with her boyfriend. She's like, Tom, it's really great that I'm going to get to see you so soon. I miss you so much, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, great. So I'm sitting there, and I'm just kind of like staring off at the sky. And then she's like, honey, it's really sweet that you want to see me, and I miss you too, and I love you, but remember the rules. We only do anal. At that point, there's nothing to say to the person who's sitting next to you. You can't make small talk.
Nope.
At that point. Like, nope. That's not occur. It was just like, wow. Okay. Wow.
It's just as funny that this time as it was the first time you told
me. Not that, bro. No. So yeah, that was an interesting flight. And then she did talk to me at one point about something. And oh god,
you don't remember what?
I almost let it slip because we were filling out. Yeah, we were filling out a customs form, and she was like,
"Yeah,
do I really need to do this?" And I was like, "Yeah, they're quite strict about it." But I almost said, "Yeah, they're quite anal about it." But I was like, no, I better not say that.
Oh, that would have been, I don't know if I could have resisted that.
It was hard. It was really hard. Yeah. I was just like, whoa. There's a Bill Maher riff on this whole particular abstinence breeding other types of sensibility thing, which you can Google. But anyway, so that was an interesting flight, and I got home, and I was home for like 3 days, and then I went to Victoria, British Columbia for my annual Nerd Camp, Digital Humanities Summer Institute, which is, it's Nerd Camp.
Right.
But that was groovy. I ate my first two oysters ever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You didn't die of allergic reactions?
No, and you know what? They were really good. Like, if you like sushi, then these are fine. They were actually really good. And I was like, whoa. Huh. I couldn't understand why people at our table were like, should we get like 4 dozen? I'm like, dude. But yeah, apparently. So,
yeah, that part, the overconsumption of seafood has never, I will eat some seafood here and there, but I'm not. When people talk about ordering dozens of things or huge platters.
Well, they're quite small, right? Yeah. But, like, as I understand it, the Vancouver area is one of, like, the world's best place for oysters. So, like, people who go there and like oysters are like, oh, God, we got to get them all. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, so it was all right. And I just got home on Sunday morning. I stayed up all night on flight, not because I wanted to, but because there was an Indian man whose elbow was in my chest for half the flight.
I hate the planes.
It was really annoying, and I kept shoving him, and he just kept ignoring me. Like, he was literally leaning on me with both elbows down and looking out the window. I'm like, dude, this isn't one of those trains you see in movies in certain parts of the world. Like, this seat is my seat. Finally, I got sick of him leaning over me, so I just summoned my will and I sneezed on him as hard as I could. His face.
And that worked?
He moved for like a minute off with a napkin, and then he came back.
This is where you bring up you go to shake his hand and you say something about only doing anal and only with your fist.
It was really, it was very uncomfortable, so.
Just like that joke.
Yeah. I'm just glossing over it. So, So I got back. I slept for like 2 hours. And then Anna Johnson had a concert, or Anna Dagmar, I guess now. Had a concert in Chelmsford at All Saints. So,
right. It was. I've heard about this from two different people who I never expected to.
Yeah, I actually met the woman who's writing the music for your show, and I guess she's in your show as well.
So yes.
That was, well, for Crossroads, I should specify, because you've got a couple.
Yeah.
It was weird, like, sorry, and I know I'm just talking about me, but
no,
this is the catching up part. So I dated a girl between 98 and 2000, and she was at Hamilton. I'm worried about using names in her podcast.
I understand.
But I was sitting, she lives out in the San Francisco area now. One of my layovers was in San Francisco, and I'm sitting at the airport. And I had been talking about her with a guy that I was traveling with who was studying at DHSI and who had similar interests to hers.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I go out that way, I'm always sitting there and I'm like, man, it sucks. This is a person who was a really positive part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
We had a, you know, we had a disagreement and now we never talk and she probably hates me. And that sucks. It sucks when you know that you have an enemy for no other reason than you just haven't bumped into each other and said, sorry.
Yeah.
So I was like, forget it. And I wrote her on Facebook and I wrote her a letter. It took me like 2 hours to write. I was sitting there like, no, I got to phrase that differently.
Mm-hmm.
Sent it. And I got on the flight. When I got back Sunday morning, I got a response and I thought for sure the response was going to be like, don't bother me.
Yeah.
But instead, the response was like, oh, yeah, you wrote, and thank you, and I was kind of a jerk, too, and so how are you, and what are you up to? So we've had a little back and forth, and it was great. But it was a weird day, because, like, I had that in the morning, which was a really long-standing thing, but then I went to Anna's concert, and there were people there that I haven't seen since high school.
Right.
And so it was just, like, constant, like, what year is it? All day long. And after the concert, I went out to dinner with Anna. And the music director of the church where the concert was, and Mr. Late. Do you remember Mr. Late from high school? He was the director.
Okay, I mean, I know the name. I can't put a face to it.
If you had told me that I was going out to dinner with Mr. Late when we were in high school, I would have thought I was going to my execution. Terrified of that man. But it turns out you buy him one Jack Daniels and he's a pussycat. it was great. We went to the remarkably pretentious Moon Sounds in Chelmsford, which is like...
That's the old...
The old ground, yeah.
Yeah.
It has a surface, but it's like super fancy inside now. And it was good. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. The food was good, but if you're going to like have a pretentious international menu, you should teach the servers how to say things on the menu.
Yes, and you probably shouldn't be in the former ground round.
It looks nice. I mean,
I know. No, I went in there a couple years ago when I did the that's where we ate before the bunch of us went to go see the CHS musical. It's gorgeous.
It's great. Like, but it actually reminds me of 10 Forward on Star Trek. I'm not sure why, but here's the tagliatelle. Like, that's not what.
So that was the one part. I mean, I've heard because, and we'll get to this later, because you happen to bump into the person who I'm doing a show with, like that became the whole conversation about the Anna show. But I was actually really curious about like the part that you've kind of talked about already, like bumping into people from high school. I mean, was it generally positive or?
It was fine. I saw Matt Crawford. I'm sure I can say Matt's name. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
And Matt is very different in appearance. I don't know if you follow him on Facebook, but
I do.
He looks very different than he did in high school. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And he's married to Rebecca somebody. I think I know her last name. But she, I think she was 2 years behind me, which is why I don't remember her so well.
Yeah, I only vaguely know. I think maybe because through Beth the Bassist or something.
Yeah.
Same year as her and so, Dubes.
Yeah. So that was fine. And their kid was there, William. He was running around. And I saw Jen Van Buren, who would have no reason to remember who I am.
Right.
And her husband, who seemed kind of annoyed to be there. But yeah, and then a few other people and Mary, who's writing your music. And so she was talking to Anna, and I was like, so what are you doing now? I know, and they were talking about musicals a moment before. She's like, well, I'm writing music for a show. It's not exactly a musical, but it's a new production in Portsmouth. And I was like, oh? When is your play? And she was like, June 22nd or whatever it was. And I was like, is that Chris's play? And she was like, yeah, how do you know Chris? So kind of funny. And Anna was just like, whoa, what happened?
I can't even imagine.
Mary
was telling me the other day when we were at rehearsal, you know, that she was in Chelmsford for lessons or something. And she's on Anna's mailing list, and she's on a ton of mailing lists.
Right.
And it just so happened that she like that she saw that mailing list, she said Chelmsford, like that's a weird place for a concert, and was like, oh, I can swing by there after after these lessons or whatever. So it's just really random.
It was
how
weird,
small.
But it was cool.
Yeah.
And I met JP, who I don't know if he's her husband or her.
Yes, husband, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, and Naomi, their baby. So yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, it was very neat.
Small world, man.
Yeah, it's well, not to get away from talking about the play, which we can talk about later.
No, whatever. No one's listening. Carry on.
I know, but going with the small world thing. So, the other thing I've had going on is this book, River Muse, that I'm part of, and the release event was this past Friday. I forget which damn day it was. Anyway, so it was this past week, and I go there and I'm flipping through the table of contents, and there are some people that I recognize aside from the big famous people. Kerouac has, there's Kerouac stuff in there. There's some stuff by Poe. There's a Dickens piece, I think. And then of course there's the two Debuses, and a whole slew of people. Then I start seeing the woman who wrote an article about me in the Lowell Sun ages ago, which makes sense, Lowell connection. And then I'm skimming all the way through, and I see a bio for a person with the last name McCoy. And I'm like, nah, couldn't be. And it turns out that I think it's McCoy. Is it McCoy? I gotta look at it now.
Could have been Hatfield. Yeah,
it could have been Hatfield.
Get those mixed up.
And
but not Hatfield. Nobody has ever confused lead singer Metallica with one of them.
I'm glad I looked it up because I would have said the wrong first name. But one of the other people in the fiction section is Beverly McCoy, one of my high school English teachers.
That's really funny.
And so I just sort of, I like of all the sort of things that I geeked out about. I mean, I'm very geeky about being in a collection with, you know, Debuse the Older,
sure.
Whose work I idolize, and with Debuse the Third, who has an excerpt from his memoir Townie in here.
Uh-huh.
I'd hoped that he would be there because it had been 13 years, almost to the, no, 13, 14. Anyway, it had been a while. It had been a while since he and I had seen each other. He was not there. So I was geeky about that. And then to realize I'm in the same collection with somebody who taught me English in high school.
Yeah,
like,
that's funny.
Was a,
did you get to talk to her? Did you go
for her? She wasn't there.
Oh,
I just noticed that I noticed the name, and it doesn't specifically say anything about Chelmsford. It just says was a high school English teacher. And so I went and talked to David Daniel,
right.
One of the editors, and he said, yeah. And
that's so funny.
He's in touch with her, so
send her a note and just be like, hey.
Yeah, he was going to mention it to her, so maybe we'll be in touch. That was just, like, of all the random weird connections.
Yeah. That's cool, though. I mean, especially if you like the class. If you didn't like the class, it's still good, but...
Yeah, I don't remember. I do remember her, and of the four teachers I had... There's one I don't remember at all. Who I don't know whether I had Mrs. McCoy freshman, sophomore year. I know who I had junior and senior year. So it's either the freshman or the sophomore teacher. I don't remember at all.
Right. That's funny.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, so the book happened and...
Yeah.
Was it a nice party? Like.
It was. It was pretty well attended considering it was a literary reading.
Right.
You know, and there were lots of people there who were like, who said to me afterwards, I've never been to one of these. I'm going to have to go to a lot more. And I wanted to encourage them while at the same time setting the proper expectation that they aren't usually these big swanky soirees. They're usually like five people in the back of a bookstore.
Right.
So I think the editors were very happy with the turnout. And, the book is great. I have a copy here. Nobody out there can see it, but it's a pretty thick volume. The one, I don't know who made this decision or made this non-decision. The table of contents has no page numbers on it.
Oops.
It's in order, right? So, but so we, the whole, like set up for the night was come get your books signed by all of the authors or as many of the authors as are there. And like the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes was all of the
book.
Were all the authors trying to find what page we were on. So I was like, I'm on page 78. All right. So when somebody asks me, I know where to flip.
That's hilarious.
It was, yeah.
Wow.
So and then at the
second
at the,
edition.
Yeah. And they're talking about doing a second edition because there are all sorts of people they feel like they didn't get to. So that'd be interesting. They at the last minute asked me to get up and read. So I was one of several people who read a brief 3 to 5 minutes.
Cool.
And that was fun. Probably the biggest crowd I've done a reading in front of since graduating my MFA program.
Nice.
So that was pretty good.
Cool.
So I was kind of afraid.
Widely available now.
Yeah, you can get it on. You can get it in all the local places around Lowell, and then you can get it on Amazon. And I believe all of the proceeds go towards veterans charities. So they're making a big deal about that as well. It's pretty cool. I'm a little concerned that one of our old pals from the comic book store is going to hunt me down and
you're assuming that guy reads.
I am. I'm assuming a lot, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was careful. And the character in the book really isn't just him. It's a composite of all of the comic book store owners I've ever known. But there's more of him in there than probably anyone else. And yeah.
It's fine.
Right.
You're in an undisclosed location.
Well, I am now that I use hover.com for my domain names, because for the longest time, I had my address out there as part of my DNS record. And again, I'm assuming he's smart enough to look up a DNS record.
Fine.
Yeah, so...
It's not like you killed the guy's cat. Like, you just don't like each other.
No, I didn't kill his cat, but speaking of cats...
Uh-huh.
Oh, my Lord. So the event was at the UMass Lowell Inn and Conference Center. Not downtown, but close enough to downtown.
Yeah, I know the place. I had a thing there once.
And I went into the bathroom, and there was the unmistakable smell of, not strong smell, but the smell that I used to smell when the cat urine-soaked comic book store bathroom had recently been cleaned. Where, like, you know, it's clean, but there's still that lingering odor in the back.
That's weird, man.
To be reading a story about that comic book store, or not really, I mean...
Did you stop at that point in the story and you're like, if anybody's actually really curious...
you can go smell.
Are just back there. This is actually a multi-sensory work.
Right. Just everyone, let's follow me. Let's take a trip into the
Let's read this in the bathroom. Come on, everybody. Let's go.
I know that's where most of you will read it anyway.
It turns into that scene in 16 Candles with the panties.
Oh, you know, you think 16 Candles or the John Hughes movies are going to get remade in this, like, culture of remaking everything?
Oh, God. They would do that, wouldn't they?
They would, and that's I'm kind of worried about that.
Let's just move on from that thought.
Yeah, let's do.
Don't do that, people of the earth.
No. So book release event happened, Anna's concert.
Yeah, it's been a lot of like weird local stuff lately.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like that's the, I don't know, somebody, oh, it was John Herman said to me, because I was backing out of a project because I commit to too many things. And he said something to the, and it, coming from him, this was crazy. Like he referred to me as one of the hardest working men in local showbiz or something like that. And that was like, or that I was trying to rival him and someone else in terms of being the hardest working men, which is something. And somebody else was saying to me, I don't know, making a big deal about the amount of press and stuff, because I've been in a couple of the articles that have come out about Rivermuse, and I'm just like, I think the whole secret to success right now is going local. I don't know. I mean, at least it starts by going local. Certainly, Amanda Palmer has had a lot of success. Her Kickstarter, I think we should talk about that. I mean, that's
crazy. It's over a million now, right?
Yeah, and it wrapped up. I think she had a big party in the Bronx, but I think she did it by being hyper local in a bunch of places. Like she was Dresden Dolls was big in New England, and then she went and did a whole bunch of stuff in Australia. So she's got that whole thing going on. She seems to have some strong New York connections, and so I don't know. I feel like local is the way to do it. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. It's weird for me because like doing all this local stuff, because you know, for most of the last decade I was away, and I feel this bizarre disconnection, you know, like it's no more than anybody else who went away after high school, but I feel like my past is just obliterated. And every time I encounter the past in like the form of Matt in his concert, it's like,
right.
Oh yeah, this was something I did, you know, it's like an alien just kind of like,
right.
Oh, I remember this. It's very weird. So I think I need more practice at it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that it ever gets less weird. I'm thinking of like the fact that I had lunch with Beth the bassist like a month or two ago, maybe like 2 months. God, it's been a while. And like because we see each other every couple of years, like it's not as weird, but it's still, and we keep in touch regularly online. It's not as weird, but it's still kind of like weird.
I went out to dinner with Mel the other night. And it was just like, I mean, it was good to see her. It was really good. And like, we had this conversation, but there were those like weird pauses of like, you know, oh, so tell me what you've been doing for the last 5 years. Okay, well, here's what I've been doing. And then kind of like,
yeah.
So, oh, this other thing.
Yeah. It's like, it's really odd. And I don't know, but I think you just get past the oddness and yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. I haven't seen Beth in a really long time. Come to think of it.
Yeah, I mean, she's down in Cambridge or Somerville in terms of work and home. I don't know which is which. Work is Cambridge, I think. Yeah. Somerville might be home.
Well, the last time we saw her, she gave us that case of leftover beer. which we probably should talk about, because a certain sometime musical guest star might be annoyed.
Oh, yeah, why would he be annoyed by that? I don't know.
We'll have him on and talk about it sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, did we not talk about that when said?
I don't remember. But speaking of Andy, his musical is coming back around. 2010 or hideous future.
It's a couple years late. I don't know if he knows that. I mean,
I think it'll be fine.
I guess we're in the hideous future now.
But yeah, it's coming back around this summer, so people should find it on Facebook and go to it.
Yeah, I'm curious as to whether they did a show at a convention recently, maybe not even recently at this point, where they did a smaller version or a shorter version, and I'm wondering if like what they're touring around with is the whole thing or
I don't know. There are excerpts in the Generation Goat archive.
Yeah. In any case, it's a good show. It's fun. I also wonder who amongst the original cast is
But I looked at the event page for Salem, and some people we know are going. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Crystal's going.
Oh, there we go. So. She will be, I think she'll be coming to Crossroads at some point. I'll be interested to see whether or not any of my more Boston area friends make their way up.
Uh-huh.
Especially those people who didn't make it to the Boston show.
Right.
So
how is your show coming anyway? I mean, is it it's Tech Week now, right?
Yeah, I mean, technically, yeah, Tech Week starts.
Is it going to suck? Is it going to be another Chris Clark fail show? Should we not go? Or
yeah. Right. Yeah, you shouldn't bother. No, it's very, very good. What's been fun about it is seeing a different set of people bring together characters who are already very well brought to life by another cast. So it's been a while. I don't know if I've ever had that experience of like when Crystal directed the staged readings, she put together an amazing cast, and I really grew to identify the whole play with them. But now I've had this experience of bringing this other cast into it, and I really identify the play with them as well. And it's very strange for me. It's a very different beast. I think the magic moment so far was when Mary, who we've mentioned now a couple times, when Mary came into rehearsal 2 weeks ago now, and I brought my crappy Casio keyboard in as a rehearsal piano.
Did I mean, it just hit samba and like, bam.
I mean, it's not it's not a full size, but it's like maybe a three. Is it three quarter? I don't know. Anyway, so it's not like a, it's not like the one I had when I was five. But anyway, so I brought that in, and she sang the hell out of the songs, and the cast was just was like blown away. I don't think they'd heard the recordings,
right,
or bits of them, but they'd never heard the full songs, and they'd certainly not seen Mary in person. So, like, the magic moment, I think, for anyone that gets involved in the piece or that sees the piece is when they start to see how it all comes together. Because I had honestly not forgotten, but lost track of how important Mary's stuff is cool. To it. And once you sort of see the whole play with her songs in place, you realize that, like, narratively, she's doing work there that the play doesn't do on its own. I mean, the play probably could stand up on its own, but man, she does a song at the beginning, a song at the end, and a song in the middle, and they make all the difference.
Cool.
So
when does it open for the first?
June 22nd, and it runs two weekends, late nights, in Portsmouth at the Players' Ring.
Nice.
So
I'll be there, man.
It's worth seeing. I mean, I can't imagine, because it's a 45 minute to maybe 55 minute at the max show. So
is there another show like with it, or is it just,
no, I mean, in the interest, like, late nights, some people,
what's
will
a late
go,
night? Is it start at midnight? Should it starts like for Rocky Horror?
It starts at 10, and the reason it starts at 10, except for Sundays when it starts at 9, is because there's a play that goes on in the park behind the theater, and if you try to compete with that, it's a musical with amplification, and you can't compete with it. So the Players' Ring always does a late-night series. Some people will go more for like an hour and a half on these late nights, and I think that's too long. I've seen ones that were more like 35 minutes, and that's too short. It feels like you're not getting your money's worth. So I kind of aimed for 45 to 65, somewhere in there, because I feel like that's, you're getting your money's worth,
right,
but you're not out so late that you're falling asleep by the second half of the show.
So just to clarify, I shouldn't come dressed as Dr. Frankenfurter.
I'm not saying that. I'm not going to rule that out. You know.
Okay.
It's not a late night double feature though.
Damn. Well, we'll see how we do. Maybe I'll still go. I don't know.
It'll be interesting, and I guess all I'm going to say is, like, if there are people out there listening, thinking about it, you should come, because I don't know the next time it will play anywhere. Six opportunities, and yeah. So that's what's on the radar right now. And then, of course, after that, there's another show. But
yeah, which looks gory as hell. I've seen a few stray photos.
Yeah, they An Evening of Grand Guignol, and I have one third of it. We finally have a title for my piece, which is called The Boot, not A Boot. Which is, the other day, students in one of my in-person summer class thought I was Canadian because I happened to say a boot.
Well, it's more like a boat, isn't it? I mean, it's...
You're right. And I don't know where my accent...
Someone's going to go out there, you know?
Yeah. But I don't know. I guess I sounded vaguely Canadian for a second in class the other
day. Fred did that to me once, too. He's like, oh, you're so Canadian. I'm like, no, not really.
And I actually mentioned... you and I had a conversation. I mentioned to them, like, oh, I have this friend who once was talking to me about... The subtle variations in accents, even just within an area as small as the Merrimack Valley, like people from Lowell having a different accent from people from Chelmsford.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the Grand Grignol will be, which I just mispronounced, be very gory. And
do I need to wear a poncho?
There's a rumor that ponchos might be needed.
I'll sit in the back.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure exactly how bloody it's going to get.
Damn.
And I'm not sure what order it's going to go. That's the thing I'm most curious about now, because I was not supposed to direct mine, but now I am apparently directing mine. It took me a long time to put together a cast, but I've got a good one. So now that I've got a good cast,
anybody I know?
Chuck Galley, who was in Pancakes, with me, Erica Wilson, who was just one of the stars of the latest 48-hour film project that John Herman's crew put together.
Cool. Nice. Well, I look forward to being disturbed somewhat.
Yeah.
Is that also a late-night show?
That is also late night. That one runs the two weekends right after Crossroads. So Crossroads is June 22nd through July 1st, and then the evening of is July 5th or 6th through the 15th, maybe July 7th.
Cool.
And I don't know what day of the week the 4th of July is. I was trying to do the math.
I think it's a Saturday this year. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
Any case, yeah, I'll be there.
It's going to be fun. And then I'm pretty much done with theater for a while. I'm not cast in anything. And
just in time to write our play.
I know. I know.
Nora's going to be here starting on July 18th, and she's going to be here till late August, but she has work. So for at least like 15 to 20 hours a week, she'll probably be working. So
right.
It's pretty easy for me to just say, okay, well, I'll be in the other room working on a play.
Yeah. And I think this is the time to do it. I think we'll work on our play. Maybe we'll do a stage reading someplace, and then
maybe even parts of that reading will make their way into the podcast.
Yeah. Maybe we just do a stage reading on the GOAT. We just do a dramatic reading with actors here.
We could put it out as a serial. We could do like a scene at a time and get our friends to help us out.
Yeah. Well, I just think anything that gets it in front of an audience to let us know what's working, what's not, and then tweak it so that we can pitch it for. We can pitch it anywhere. But
when's the pitch? Is it September?
Players Ring pitches is in February.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, so yeah. We get plenty of time.
That's lots of time for RT to hear it, mock it, send us back notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. All in details. Well, that's cool, man. People should go to the Players Ring and see these things.
They should. It's a very fun place to see shows. And these late nights, my theory is go have some drinks beforehand, come in, enjoy the show. Go have a drink afterwards. There's a couple of bars within walking distance. There's one right across the damn street.
That's true. Well, since you're not going to, you're probably not going to sit with me, I'm going to need people to come keep me company while I mock your show. So
yeah,
anybody who's up for that.
We do need a peanut gallery.
Will we go to the rusty whatever afterwards if I come?
Yeah. I mean, I think at least.
Or whatever that place is called.
It is the Rusty Whatever. No, it's the Rusty Hammer.
All right, that's it.
Yeah. That's kind of the traditional place to go after shows. And it'll still be open by the time we clear out of there, I think, for at least a drink. Yes. I forget when they stop serving. But
sad.
I know. It's very sad. New England and its puritanical whatever.
Yeah. So, okay, well, I guess the other big thing that happened recently is your kid just graduated kindergarten.
She did. She graduated
kindergarten. What the hell?
I know. Like, if you look, our very first in-studio guest for Generation Goat was Kaylee when she was, like, three or four.
Yeah.
You know, if you, like, listen back to it, it's crazy. She graduated kindergarten.
It's nuts.
And I have like all sorts of mixed feelings about it, because the first thing that pops into my brain is a quote from The Incredibles, where Mr. Incredible is getting belligerent about the fact that they're trying to celebrate his son moving from the fifth grade to the sixth grade or something. And he's like, they're finding new ways to celebrate mediocrity or yeah. something like that. And like that pops into my head and I'm like, but you know, first grade, moving into first grade is a big deal, you know? And it is a big deal to move from one school to the other. So
I was going to say on Facebook and then I thought, oh, that's mean. I won't say it. I was like, you know, at a kindergarten graduation, if your kid has failed, do they give them a diploma anyway? Kind of decent stuff.
Well, they gave every kid a special award. Nice. With, you know, so somebody, Kaylee was most school spirit. They gave like three or four girls variations of best dressed. One of them was like most stylish. Another one was like best dressed or something like that. So like they obviously
and
were having
just got the Curious Nice Shoes award.
Well, and so one of the but then with people, so one of the girls got best class comedian or something like that. But yeah, there were those three or four that all had some variation of best dressed. Once you got towards the end, though, there was at least one kid where you could tell it wasn't what you said, where like the kid failed and they gave him the diploma anyway. But it was kind of like, oh, there's a wink that this kid was difficult.
Oh, no. Most improved.
There might have been a most improved.
Longest time without biting anyone.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was an interesting experience to watch her up there. And, you know, I can't get over it. She's freaking 6 years old.
So first grade, will she go to like the local whatever?
Yeah, that's really where like it feels like it's a transition worth celebrating, commemorating, because she's not going to see most of these kids ever. Well, she may see some of them on some occasions, but for the most part, they're all moving on to a school in the same town where the daycare center is.
Yeah.
And she's moving on to a school that's in our town. So. Yeah, she's not going to see most of these kids, and
that's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, she's excited. I was interested to hear that that she is excited to move on, because I think she's been apprehensive in the past, but now that she's gone to her new school a couple of times for orientations and things,
yeah,
I think she's passed the sort of trepidation about it and moved on to, yeah, this will be cool.
Wow.
Yeah. First grader. I'm going to have a first grader. It's absurd.
Yeah, it seems fun right now, but like if we're still doing this in 10 years, you're going to be like, oh, God.
I have a junior in high school. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah! Yeah.
It's not going to be good. You're going to freak yourself out to death.
I'm freaking myself right now a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every year it's only when you look back on it in terms of like a long term that it really freaks you out. Cause I don't know. I mean, it didn't happen overnight. Like that's those cliches about it. Like, oh, she was a little girl like just yesterday. No, she was five.
Then there were gamma rays.
And she said, Kaylee smash.
Yeah.
Puny dad.
Oh, well done. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's crazy. I'm figuring people in my family don't live a terribly long time. So if Nora and I wait just long enough, like there's a good chance I'll die while they're in high school. And then I don't have to like endure the whole, like, oh, are they pregnant? Are they not pregnant?
Well, there's a frightening frightening sequence that's happened in Stephanie's family of like for two generations in a row now, the moment that a guy in that guy who's married into that family, the moment that his daughter, his firstborn daughter, gets pregnant, like within that year, he's dead. So Stephanie's grandfather died before Stephanie and her sister were born, but just earlier that year, and Stephanie's dad died.
You need to get chastity belt.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
Because I...
In the garter room. Homeschooling. That's the way forward.
I think so. Because, like, I got a lot I want to accomplish before I kick it. I'm just saying.
Well, they're from Maine, too. Like, it might be worth putting in, like, an email to Stephen King just to see, like, if he's got any crazy curse ideas.
Yes.
Yeah, you will undoubtedly get an email with 5 pages of, I remember a fence post once. But... maybe there'll be an answer at the end of it.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, wow, that's a little scary.
It's really scary. Like, I don't know. I think they went back and tried to figure out if it was even one more generation beyond that, but I don't think it is.
Maybe they're killing them.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe they've decided they want the kids to be raised by women, so it's just kind of... Yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird. Like, you either... In that family, you either get the chance... You either don't get the chance to become a grandfather, or you get it for a few months and then it's gone. Wow. So I don't know.
Chris,
I better just stop worrying so much about things.
I think that might be how you do yourself in if you do. Yeah. So yeah. Crazy.
So
anyway,
one of the ways I'm trying to stay healthier is I got this. I have this ridiculous machine that I've been hearing about on podcasts a lot called the SodaStream.
Okay.
Because one of the ways I want to cut down on the amount – I mean, I want to cut down on the amount of soda, but I can't. So at least I can cut down on the amount of, like, diet soda with, like, crappy, stupid chemicals in it. And so this SodaStream, what it does is you put this CO2 cartridge into the back of it and you – plug a bottle into the front, and you push a button, and it carbonates your water. So you have, like, ready-made seltzer if that's all you want. So you could just do seltzer and put juice in it, and you'd be totally golden. But they make these little soda packs that are either sweetened with real cane sugar or they're sweetened with Splenda, which I know, don't get me started. It's probably not all that great for you either.
It's just I don't care about what's in it. I drink Diet Coke. I mean, I have no leg to stand on. I just hate the taste of Splenda.
Yeah. So anyway, so this I've been making a lot of stuff with my SodaStream, and I don't know. I don't know that I can extend my life with soda, but, you know, it costs less money, right? So there's less stressing about money.
That's pretty cool.
I'm not creating as many recyclables. So, you know, no stressing about the environment.
So do you buy the CO2 cartridges at, like, the grocery store?
Like, we bought ours at Wally World. Yeah. And you can get, a lot of places are starting to carry them, and they also, the same places, I think, take the recyclable. So you can bring the used CO2 cartridge in and bring it back in. So, yeah, it's...
We need to carbonate some other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, let's see if we can carbonate some molten cheese.
Well, I mean, it does say just carbonate water on it. And,
yeah. Let's carbonate some Coke. See what happens.
You can overcarbonate, which I find is hilarious. So, like, the instructions clearly state, like, 3 presses down on the button until you hear the loud sort of belching sound or whatever. But I'm like,
you're rookies.
I'm doing like 5 or 6, because I've heard from the guys whose podcast I listen to that, like, you gotta really, you know, you gotta carbonate. You gotta just carbonate the hell out of it.
Carbonation is the new juicing? Is that
apparently, yeah. I mean, I don't know how much I should trust some of these guys, though, because these are also guys who are on the freaking paleo diet and stuff like that, which I have no interest in.
I know someone who's doing that, and she's
a really?
Yeah, she's like, I'm so hungry, but I just ate a huge haunch of meat and some other things. You're like, all right.
Whatever. You know,
somebody I know is swearing off fruit salad because it has carbs. And it's like, look, if you've reached the point in your diet where you can't eat fruit, you've done it wrong.
I agree. Right? I mean, everything in moderation is kind of my... Like,
yeah.
Including whatchamacallits. I'm just going to say, like, whatchamacallits are a food group.
Look, the thing is, right now I'm a little larger than I'd like to be, but when I, a few years back, decided to go on a diet, I lost, like, 37 pounds. And I did that while eating everything that I always ate. I just ate it in different proportions.
Right.
I didn't cut out a single food item. And I didn't put the weight back on as soon as I stopped dieting. I put it back on a couple years later. And it was entirely my fault because of neglect. But yeah, no, like, people have the capacity to be thinner. It's called eating less. Like, when you go to Chili's, first of all, mistake, but when you go to Chili's and they hand you the mountain of whatever, here's an idea. Don't eat the whole mountain. Ta-da. Well done.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, people have asked me because I've lost the weight and kept it off for a couple years now. Like, but that's exactly what I did, was just watch the portions and introduced exercise. Like, that's it. Simple, you know?
Yeah.
And I still eat whatchamacallits. I still have McDonald's or Burger King from time to time. Like, I shouldn't have those things.
I've seen it.
You know.
Chris orders like 10 hamburgers. He's like, I'm starving. Just keep them coming.
Yeah, you know. You gotta splurge. When you're splurging, you might as well splurge.
That's how I feel. Like,
at the bottom, and this, I mean, it really does come back to this. I once bought a package of Pepperidge Farm chocolate chip cookies, and at the bottom of it, or maybe not even at the bottom, I think it might have been at the top to make you feel better, it was is this placard that said, if you want to have a cookie, have a cookie.
Nice.
Like, and I just, honestly, like, seriously, don't deprive yourself.
Yeah. It's true, because, like, when you go on a diet and you're like, okay, that's it. I can never eat bread again. I'm never going to do it. Then, inevitably, in, like, 3 weeks, you're going to be like, oh, I want some bread. And then you're just going to eat, like, a loaf of bread. And you're like, oh, bread.
Bread.
You can't do that.
Brain.
Like, it happens every time. Like, when I travel and I'm up all night and I haven't had a lot of food, like, inevitably, when I get back and I go to eat, it's just like, I want all the food. Just give me, keep it all coming. I just want to eat everything in the house.
Give me all the food, all of it, right now.
That's
all
what we did at the Oyster Bar, actually. We ordered so many things. It was just like, yep, we have ordered all the things.
All the things. The menu is empty. We have done it.
We did get through most of the menu, to be honest. There were like 15 of us, and by the time, like, and people ate all those oysters, and then we were sitting around, and they had, people were having, there were a couple other whiskey nerds there, so we were having a long, involved conversation about scotch, and they had some very nice scotch on the dessert menu that was not very expensive. Granted, I started with the scotch, so it was kind of the pre-dinner dessert.
We should make this happen. And maybe it doesn't end at the Rusty Hammer, or maybe it starts someplace before
it. They have no scotch at the Rusty
Hammer. This is what I'm saying, and this is what reminded me. When you come to see Crossroads, because Leslie won't go see the other one, the horror one.
Fair enough.
We should have, because both of you were...
That's true, we were talking about.
But you were at a place where that you couldn't have it. So maybe what needs to happen is you need to go to a place, like, maybe beforehand, in case that place doesn't stay open late. And then
might make it a lot more palatable.
It might.
Okay, so great. Thanks, Chris. And see you next time.
See ya.